Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
The Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 419th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my fellow scrumptiliumptious co-host, because it's an early December morning here in Puckle Land. I've got the as spectacular as ever, Scrawn.
Well, hello, everybody. It is my pleasure to be with you on this fine day.
And the co-host that you'll never be able to get all the cotton out of the rug for, the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Are you still cleaning up from the last time I was there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez.
How does the cotton get in the rug? Is that a thing?
I don't think so. I don't think so, actually. But
is that like a problem experience with cotton? I feel like the problem with cotton is like getting the thorns out, right?
You know
I
what?
Think honestly, the one guest that you will have trouble like removing from your carpet is Shamu.
That's probably true. But
I don't want to
like,
know. I really
there.
Don't.
No, it's like he was sitting there and lying there for most of BuckleCon. Like he'd made a nest.
You say nest, I say Jabba the Hutt, like, sitting spot.
All right. On that note, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. We talk everything Pokemon from the video game, mostly the video game right now because Sword and Shield just launched. But also we talk the trading card game. We talk, I mean, even smaller stuff like Pokemon merchandise, I guess, sometimes because Pokemon merchandise is cool and we can't have enough of it in our lives.
Especially those of us stuck over here in Europe.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible for you guys actually, because you don't have I can't believe that you still don't have Pokemon Center in Europe. Because like
I thought they did.
No, they don't.
We don't.
No, because like it's like a way bigger thing. So like it was I remember when Pokemon Center relaunched in the US, it was a huge deal and they made a huge deal of it. And
yeah.
Then so we still have it, and I'm surprised because that was like back in like 2014, 2015, I have to say.
That's the New York location?
No, not the New York location, just the website, PokemonCenter.com.
Oh, okay.
And like it's been a long time since that actually like became a thing. And now it's I'm surprised it hasn't made its way to Europe in any form.
Yeah, there is a very sad lack of Christmas Whimsicott in my life.
That's true. They always knock it out of the park on Christmas stuff. Like I swear.
Yes.
I swear. They always knock it out for that. I'm kind of sad that I went to Japan like in October and not in something like November or December so I could go to the Pokemon centers and see the Christmas merch there.
Yeah. How many total did you end up hitting? Did you miss any by chance?
We hit 5.
The ones I had been to were the Skytree.
Yes,
the
we Mega, hit. I hit Skytree,
Train Center, and the one in Yokohama. So I hit.
So
four
yeah, so I hit all 4 of those, and then I hit. There was an extra one that I hit.
Ooh,
because there. So I hit Yokohama. I hit Mega. I hit Skytree. I hit the train station, which the train station kind of sucked. Tokyo Station Pokemon Center.
It does. It is the smallest, and it doesn't have like that a feature statue and stuff.
The prices are also like higher at that one compared to the rest of them, by the way. So if you're going to Japan, by the way, don't go to Tokyo Station Pokemon Center. Go to literally any of the others. there's like a 10% increase in price at that one. It was really weird. I think it's because you can get like tax free when you're there. And so they just added the tax on already to all of the prices. Because their sales tax is like crazy high. It's like 10%.
That's like most states.
What is Missouri's sales tax? Because
I think it's around 10%.
Really? Because like Ohio's is 7.5, and Indiana's is I think 7, and I know Washington State's is 6.25. So I mean, 10% is a lot actually, in my opinion. But I think it's more like federally run in Japan compared to like it's at the state level in the U.S.
If it makes you all feel better, it's like 20-something percent in Italy, but at least it's always like included, so you know what you're paying up front.
That's the thing. Like, it's never included in the U.S.
And at least they're doing wonderful things with the money in Italy, like putting it all in the Moses Project to protect...
Scron, please, no. Let's change
We're
the
done.
Subject.
We're
please.
Done now. And so... But yeah, I think we hit Tokyo Bay on top of that. I think we hit that one on top of that. We did go to 5 though. I do remember going to 5 like explicitly. I have the picture somewhere on my phone.
The airport maybe? Is there one in the airport?
No, there's not one in the airport.
Mm.
I think it depends on which airport you're in. There is one in Narita. The problem was it was in the wrong terminal from where we had our flight.
Oh, okay.
So gotcha. We couldn't go.
Oh, so
to
it was in the domestic terminal, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's in Terminal B at Narita, and our flight was in Terminal C, and so we couldn't go. It was unfortunate. We did get to go to the United Lounge, though. That was an experience. I've been in 2 airport lounges in my entire life, and this is completely not Pokemon related, but I've been in 2 airport lounges my entire life, and. Yeah, one's been the Narita United Lounge, and one's been the Delta Lounge at the St. Paul Minneapolis Airport.
Nice.
And the better one of the two, surprisingly, is the Delta Lounge in the St. Paul Minneapolis Airport.
Oh. Surprisingly?
Yeah.
I mean...
You'd expect Narita's to be pretty good.
But it's United.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a busy airport.
Yeah.
And... You know,
they're both busy airports, I think. Like
in Minneapolis, or like
I think Narita's
definitely more busy.
I definitely think Narita's busier than St. Paul Minneapolis. But it's I think Delta just provided better food. Like it was just better food. The nice thing about lounges is that they just like leave the bottles of alcohol out, which is kind of cool. And so you can just like mix your own drinks. And I'm a big fan
nice.
Of that. Also, while I was in Japan, I discovered Soju, which is my new like favorite liquor.
Soju.
Soju is my new favorite thing, man. Soju and Chuhi. I'm all into it. 100% into it. I haven't found any in the US, but we can talk more about that later. I need to find it. I think we have an international market here in town, so I'm probably going to go over there and try to see if I can find it. Just get some good Soju so I can make some Chuhi. Maybe I'll have some ramune so I can mix it.
Oh my god, everyone's probably just saying Thatch is a weeb. And
okay, but they haven't had a ramune Chuhi, okay? And
ramune Chuhi.
Chuhi. It's literally the best thing in the entire world.
Oh.
100% the best thing in the entire world.
Yeah, but what does it evolve into?
Right.
Ramune Chuhi evolves in it evolves into Soju. It's the Pika clone this gen.
To change the topic, I kind of have good news. As an organizer in the St. Louis area, I can now run mid-season showdowns.
Ooh.
And premier challenges.
I have a genuine question about that, because I know the changeover to Switch is somewhat more complicated than using a 3DS. Does like TPCI have like requirements for you to have certain equipment to be able to run these events?
Not at events at
mid-season showdown. Okay, like the local events.
Yeah, so if once you get to regionals, that's when it's a bit more complicated, but they don't let
if you're just anybody run a regional,
you need to have had experience at like nationals or worlds at that point, to be honest. At midseason showdowns, I'm just expecting a lot of people from like nearby states to come, because like
that does happen.
Like there's a VGC community in Kansas City, and there's a VGC community in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes get people from those
I know
to St. Louis,
yeah,
which is great. Like, the community has been growing. Like, my Discord has gone from like 10 people in the past year and a half to like it's over 50 now.
Ooh. Yeah, I can imagine, because like even when I was still active in the VGC scene and I was playing, when I would go to like so Sigma and I went to a mid-season showdown in Columbus, and there were still people from Chicago at that mid-season showdown.
Yeah, Chicago has a really, really active VGC scene.
I mean, I would imagine like third largest city in the United States.
Three or four active tournament organizers.
I would imagine. Yeah, Chicago's a pretty big place, so I can imagine that. But yeah, they would like come down there to try to get their points and everything. And I mean, I've never been about chasing the points, because I think a little bit of it is who's got the money to go to the things. And
or,
I just
like, you know, it's families traveling,
yeah,
trying to get their kids scholarships.
No, I'm totally so like I low key made that joke to my wife, and it was only a half joke, right, about how
no, like it's
when we have a kid, kid's probably gonna play Pokemon,
yeah, right?
Because how many juniors ever show up to events,
mm-hmm,
and that kid's gonna get to Worlds pretty easy.
Yeah, so I've had families do that, and if they're four or less juniors or seniors at an event, then mm-hmm, they just straight up get championship points.
Yeah.
Just for participating.
That's what I told her. We take the kid, we just tell the kid that playing Pokemon's cool, whether it be the TCG or the video game, and then they go. And then they get championship points. Then they probably somehow accidentally get, we go to a regional and they're good enough out of the 10 kids that show up at the video game. And I know that when I went to, so this is old, because I think it was 2018 I went. Yeah, 2018 I went to Collinsville Regionals. And I know when I went there, it was like 21 in the seniors division or something like that. And I know juniors was like less than that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of spreading awareness to parents and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Slightly off topic, when I worked at GameStop, I use it as a selling point when I'm trying to sell Pokemon games. Like, yeah, if your kid can play this game competitively and get pretty sizable scholarships,
yeah, I would want. I'm all for having my kid learn to play VGC and just go get some scholarship money. I'm all for it. I know my parents wouldn't let me do that though. But on that note, I think this is a good place to stop. We will, we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we have a few things going on. Most notably, if you're listening to this now, you missed Community Day.
Yeah.
Community weekend. But there's so many like interesting things that are happening, and I'm very confused by them. First of all, there's going to be a new Pokemon web series on YouTube if it survives Copa. And so the series is called Pokemon Twilight Wings. And it's going to appear on YouTube on January 15th, 2020 at 1 p.m. UTC, which is British time.
So, what's this Twilight Wings like referring? Are spoilers okay now? Like,
what?
Is that referring to Eternatus?
I don't know. Maybe.
That seems like the only thing that would make sense.
I have no idea.
Oh, it's got to be Corviknight, because it's like a symbol of the Galar region.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Oh, that's really cool.
That's a bold prediction.
Hey, I mean, they got like the statues in Winden, so.
I mean, there was also a fletchling weather vein, so you know.
Yeah, and fletchling is not in Sword and Shield.
Yeah,
so.
You can also wear that Poliwhirl shirt at the same time. This series features various short animated shorts, 7 of them, about the goings on about people in the Galar region. It's made by Studio Colorido and is directed by Shingo Yamashita. I don't know any of those people, so that's where you go. Yeah.
Nice. That could probably be cool. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is those, like, early, you know, Galar Pokemon memes where it's like, oh, Slag wanna have a cheeky Pokemon fight.
I don't know that that's gonna be what happens at all.
It probably won't, but I highly expect there to be some semblance of accents, you know? You know, sort of like what was portrayed with, like, some of the police officers in Sword and Shield.
I don't know.
I mean, it depends on who they get dubbing this, because
bold predictions all around. That's all I'm saying.
I personally hope it's, you know, like Nicolas Cage doing a bad British accent.
British? What? You're not going to get Nicolas Cage for this?
You know, I don't limit my mind thatch.
I limit my mind to realistic possibilities. That's what I limit mine to.
Well, I don't.
So the next piece of news is that they announced that there's going to be another Pokemon movie that's going to come out in Japan on July 10th, 2020.
Ooh, what a surprise.
And that's all we know. We just know that it's going to be a new movie, though. It's not going to be based on the old movies. It's not going to be based, well, because it's an entirely new movie, unlike the one where we got the remake last year that still hasn't hit the West, by the way.
Huh.
It still hasn't hit the West, which is really strange. Probably because I wouldn't be surprised if it was just like, oh, well, the people, we took out all the Western jokes because the Vikings joke did not make it into the remake. I'm just letting people know.
I mean, the Vikings joke was not in there in the first place. It was just an American dub thing. So
I know.
If it ever makes it to the West, they can put in the Vikings.
No. So the whole scene where they are Vikings is gone.
Oh, I
so like that. There's not even the opportunity for the Viking joke.
I thought it was a scene by scene remake.
So there were places where they made changes because like they didn't go back to like full on goofy Team Rocket.
Oh,
that's what happened. Like they didn't go on to. It was really odd. Like some of the creative choices they made because it wasn't a shot for shot remake. And I mean, that really, I think it's one of those things that exemplifies like the difference between the anime now and the anime back then.
Yeah, I suppose, like, the farthest you get from the 70s, the less acceptable a goofy evil team becomes.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, especially if you look at, the like, how serious, like, they try to portray Team Rocket to an extent. Outside of, I guess, the Alolan anime. But, like, in Gen 6 and Gen 5, they tried to, like, make them, like, legitimately scary.
No, I remember this.
And it looks like that's the case too in like I want to put Gen 8 anime in quotes because I don't know where they're going with it anymore.
I don't know where they're going with it, but I saw like a couple of GIF sets and Go is like the most adorable thing ever, and I might have to get back into the anime just for Go.
Yeah, I think it's a nice fresh air into the anime. But also Team Rocket, like Jesse has a I forget what Jesse has, but James has a Tyranitar. Like,
really?
Yeah. What?
What?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
It's just like, yeah.
Like, usually they give him some sort of weird predatory plant.
We went from 0 to 60 real fast. Okay.
I think the story behind that is that Team Rocket issued them some good Pokemon
so that they
can actually do a decent job.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Fun.
Oh, Jesse has a Gyarados. That's what it is.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
All
full
right.
Circle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that clip where they're actually issued good Pokemon.
Yeah, they have on, like, good Pokemon. It's really weird.
Contributing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously probably have seniority now. Maybe that's important in the Team Rocket. Yeah.
And yet they're still 17.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. I try not to think about it too much, but, you know, just the parts that can make sense.
So, I guess, I mean, there's not terribly much more news than this, but the other thing, there was an update to the wild area, like, events that are going on, because right now we have Gigantamax, Snorlax, Butterfree, Dreadnought, and Sandaconda, Corviknight, and Centiscorch going on right now, mm-hmm. as, like, coming up more often. Those were originally slated to go until January 5th, as shared by Nintendo of America, but it's actually January 9th. There was like an oopsie somewhere. So you get 4 extra days to go get all of those if you haven't gotten them yet.
I mean, there's lots of oopsies everywhere, apparently. Yesterday, someone in the chat was mentioning that the official guide states that you cannot get the opposite game fossils even from the Digging Duo, which is false.
But you definitely
that is false.
Can. Yeah, I have firsthand experience.
That is false.
Same.
Wow. Okay, lots of oopsies. That's nice. That's really nice. That makes me sad.
I don't know if it's oopsies so much as like they want to leave some stuff to be discovered, maybe.
I don't know. That's like blatant lying. This sounds like stuff we would have heard in like 1998 for the Game Boy Advance, because like the guidebook was made by somebody who wasn't like in Nintendo or something like that, and Nintendo like slapped their sticker on it.
Mm-mm.
It sounds like something that would have happened back then, but not something that would happen now, especially with how careful they typically are with their guidebooks now. At least the past two generations, like Gen 6 and Gen 7 had awesome guidebooks, and they purposely like left stuff out so they could have like guidebook part 2. And it just seems really strange to me.
Don't buy guidebooks, by the way. Like, sorry if you're the type of person who buys guidebooks, but
that's
don't
me.
Buy them.
That's me.
Oh.
I buy like the first run because they're really nice, like hardcover ones. I like the hardcover guidebooks. I don't like the paperback guidebooks.
I know from firsthand experience at retail stores, if you don't sell guidebooks, you have to destroy them.
What?
Yeah. You like have to, it's called pennying them out. You have to literally like have like a regional manager come in and rip them up.
That's really weird. That's really weird.
Because like it would like supposedly deflate the economy for them because they're so easy to get.
Yeah. I imagine. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all of the news in the Pokemon world. Oh, there is they announced, this is very strange to me, the 2020 circuit for Pokken Tournament.
All right. You know, like they have an added DLC for a year and a half or so.
Yeah, my thought is just the meme from Mean Girls of just stop trying to make Pokken Tournament happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, if they don't keep putting stuff out for it, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen because, yeah, they're at all the internationals, the upcoming internationals, which is weird because we also got all of the international dates by right now as well from this, which is blows my mind because this is way earlier than we ever get international dates.
Mm-hmm.
And the dates for North America are exactly what I thought they would be, and it's not bueno for us. We should talk about it offline sometime.
Okay.
But Oceania International is in Melbourne, Australia, February 21st to 23rd. The European International is in Berlin, Germany, April 17th to 19th, and the North American International Championships are June 26th to 28th. And I don't think we have a location for that one yet either, which is weird. I don't know why they gave us a location for everything but that one, but you know what, that's cool.
Probably trying to negotiate with which convention center.
It's either going to be Indianapolis or Columbus.
You know, maybe they'll decide to do good old Dayton, Ohio this time.
I don't think they'll do Dayton, Ohio. Right smack in the middle between the two of them. Richmond, Indiana, here we go. And so, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you can go play Pokken at these places and they have prize monies to do it.
Just play Shadow Mewtwo and win.
Honestly, it probably doesn't take much to do it because there aren't that many people that can do it.
There are some people in there who are just like absurdly good.
Yeah, but
have like been doing it nonstop.
All you gotta do is like make top point, seven, top like eight. That's all you have to do, and you get like $1,000. Like that's all you need. So just keep that in mind. On that note, I do want to shift gears to some Puckle stuff that's coming up, because we typically do the UUTC at the beginning of the year, and there's going to be some minor changes to the UUTC this year compared to how we've done it in years past.
The UUTC stands for the Ultimate Underground Tournament of Champions.
I believe that. I believe that I came up with that nonsensical name in 2014.
You came up with another, but then you kept, you know, messing up the acronym. So
I did.
We love our acronyms here in Puckle.
Yeah. So it's typically like our big like singles tournament of the year. And we wanted to keep it on cart because one, that's what kind of like binds a lot of us together is playing the Pokemon game together at Puckle. And we wanted to keep it on cart, but unfortunately, and you can thank your overlords at Game Freak or TPCI, one of the two, they put a 20-minute maximum battle timer on Pokemon battles in the cartridge. You cannot change it. Not easily, at least. There is a way to get 30 minutes, but the way you have to get 30 minutes is you have to make a tournament 2 days in advance minimum, and it only lasts for 3 hours, and you have to get everybody else to join it. Or you have to get the other person to join it, and then you can get 30 minutes.
Which is a lot of hoops to go through just for an extra 10 minutes.
Which may still not be long enough.
Exactly. It's not.
And for those of you who are wondering, if you're new to Pokemon and you don't actually, or you never paid attention to how long like OU matches typically take on cartridge, the answer is I'd say on average through, because I've done a ton of battles because I've played a lot of people on stream. I have had some matches last under 20 minutes, but
so
I've
is
had
it just a 20 minutes to make choices. Or
No. It's 20 minutes with animations.
Animation. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. We've discussed
it's
a it.
Big problem. There's like room for maybe 15 turns in there.
Yep. And so, yeah. Well, no. They did take the turn timer down to 60 seconds. So you probably get more than 15 turns out of it.
Maybe. No, because you get animations.
That's true. But yeah, it's but either way, that's still not a lot. Like, that's not a lot. Because, like, I would say most battles probably go 20 some turns, like, on average.
So,
like,
look, a 16 turn battle is a sweep where someone sets up and 6-0 someone else.
Yep.
And an average battle is like 30-ish
to turns.
35 turns. Yep. And then a battle against Seth Vilo is like 200. No, I'm joking. Yeah. It's like 60 and then the timer runs out. But
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so that's the real big problem that we're facing here. And so what we've decided to do this year, because we wanted to keep things on cart, is we're going to go to a best of three format. Still singles, but we're going to do the 3v3 battle spot singles style. Well, I guess it's not battle spot anymore. It's battle stadium singles. That's what they call it. So it still abbreviates the same way.
So what size is the roster of Pokemon you're allowed to
play? We haven't quite hashed that out. I'm also not too worried about the rosters in general, just because also thank you to our overlords at Game Freak. There are no battle videos.
Mm.
There's no way to really check anything like that.
Mm-mm.
And so I think that's just something that we're gonna have to, like, I don't know if it's anything that we even should police.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hot take on it, but we still haven't hashed that out.
We should have people submit the rosters still, and if there's a discrepancy, then look into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that we can. It's gonna be by word of mouth, and that's about it, right?
Like photos and stuff. If there's a problem in a tournament match,
I still think it's. I think that's a lot to ask for, personally. In terms of policing, and I don't know if it's anything worth policing. So, but there's more details that need to be hashed out and overall, but I just wanted to make the announcement that it's going to be 3v3 singles if people are like prepping for OU hardcore for the UTC in the community. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted an avenue to just like let people know the 20 minute timer exists, because I think it's something that hasn't hit a lot of ears.
I know that when it hit mine, It did things to me. Like, I was extremely disappointed. It was the one thing I really didn't take well about the new generation.
I don't know that you can claim to me anymore that the OU meta is the reason Sword and Shield is good anymore.
Mm.
Mostly because you can't play the OU meta on Sword and Shield.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can't realistically play the OU meta on Sword and Shield. So you're a big fan of Pokemon Showdown and what they did with the new Pokemon. That's what that tells me.
which is pretty good, to be fair.
I mean, it is good. It is good. I definitely
agree.
All
I'm saying is that the meta, if it existed on cartridge, would be one of the best in years.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah. So yeah. There we go.
So what really matters is if the VGC meta is good, which is what they push. So
yeah,
doubles for Pokemon.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to be. I think Gigantamaxes are actually particularly good for that, but we'll save that conversation to something else. But yeah, I just wanted to get that off my plate and just let people know, because I just wanted the avenue to like talk about and let you guys know that we're changing up the format a little bit of one of our community tournaments, and that we are also that the 20 minute timer exists, and it makes me sad. But yeah, on that note, let's go to something happier like Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Hey,
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. So that means Scrawn and Whimsicott will be working as a team together to try to earn points by answering five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that all come from our Discord. So if you want to drop in trivia questions to try to stump the co-host, you can go over there. And they're going to be answering five questions, each worth 1 point apiece, except for the time it's not.
Except for a multitude of exceptions.
Except for the one time it's not, which is question number four. It's usually multi-answer, and you guys can get a bonus point. So there you guys go on that. So that's a possible total of six. They also get a lifeline to use, which is a hint. And if they don't use it and they get all the questions correct, they can cash in for a seventh point. For a possible total of seven, they are racing their fellow co-host in a race to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to TeePublic, where they can buy the phone case of their choice. Or I guess t-shirt or something. I don't know. And on that note, we are going to go ahead and get started. First of all, though, this segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for a bunch of cool, nerdy stuff. Those guys are great. I suggest you go check out their art. It is just fantastic.
We love them.
And on that note, we are going to go ahead and go through these trivia questions from the Discord server. So let's get started. Our first question is going to be from Claude9. What type has the most gym leaders?
Ooh.
We are also excluding kahunas and trial leaders.
Okay, so I think rock, but let's count them out. So,
it's not gonna be fire. Rock sounds right. So you've got Gen 7.
I have Gen 1, Gen 3, Gen 4.
Gen 4, yeah, it's going to be rock.
Gen 6, Gen 7, oh, Gen 7 doesn't count. Gen 8.
2 is never overlapping with 1, so it's all, but if there, unless there's something that's in 7.
I can think of a normal in water that could be like a competition, because normal wasn't in Gen 1, but it is.
But normal was in Gen 5 twice with Sharen and Leona.
Exactly. And technically, water was also in Gen 5 twice. So, you know, water actually is in Gen 1, Gen 3, Gen 4, Gen 5 twice, and Gen 8. So water actually wins out if you count the people. Yeah, it's water.
You have Marlin and the other. Wait, what's the other one in Gen 5?
Cress.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's got to be water.
Yeah.
Water is correct. There are seven in water. You have Misty, Wallace, Juan, Wake, Cress, Marlin, and Nessa. So there are seven water type gym leaders. All right, that's 1 point for you guys. Good for you. Our next question is going to be from Piccolo. Who is the only new Pokemon in Sword and Shield that requires high friendship in order to evolve?
Snom.
Snom, yeah. Snom at night.
Snom is correct. And I think we're just going to make it a meme that Snom is always the answer to something.
I am not against that. I love Snom.
I just want it to stay a little caterpillar that eats snow forever.
See, I'm doing an unevolved, like a not fully evolved run of Shield.
Oh gosh.
Except for Morpeko. I'm probably gonna get a Morpeko. And I really want to use Snom, but its base stats are just like, I think I need to get it to level 100 to be able to use it. So it's terrible, poor thing.
All right. So your next question, as always, is a Pokedex entry, and you have to tell me who that Pokemon is. And so this one is going to come from, it's going to come from Enharmonia. Its Soul Silver Pokedex entry reads, it can perform odd dance steps to influence its foes. Its style of dancing became hugely popular overseas. Who's that Pokemon?
I think I know it.
Go ahead. I mean, I was going to give you a free hint, but if you know it.
No, go. I mean, I'm going to say it now and then give me the free hint. Okay. I want to see if I was right. Grumpig.
This is a Gen 3 Pokemon.
Yeah, I know that Grumpig has the weird dance, so that's what I say.
Wow, that is completely out of left field for me, which is why I'm convinced that you're right. Let's go with that.
Grumpig is correct. You guys are 3 for 3 today.
Because, like, it's really weird because it, like, balances its pearls on its head and, like, does the dance that, like, controls people's minds. But not many people know that Grumpig does that. It's kind of like the early Malamar. It's weird.
So neither of the questions that P. McGee has lined up for me for this next question are easy, I should say. I'll give you this one, and I hope you get it. This one is from Scummy Squirtle. I apologize in advance. As part of the promotion of Pokemon 2000, Eggo launched limited edition Pokemon-themed waffles. What were the 5 Pokemon that could be seen on these waffles? And I will give you, honestly, I'll give you a point for each one you get and for a maximum of 2 points.
So you managed to ask a question that happened like when Scrawn was in like kindergarten and I was in a different continent. Thank you, Thatch.
I apologize. I just need you to give me 2 of the 5. 2 of the 5, and I'll give it to you.
And they're waffles.
Pikachu, so. I'm going to guess what you say. It's Scrawn.
Pikachu is correct. You get 4 more guesses.
In the nature of pancake/waffle-shaped stuff.
So, the thing is...
Yeah, it's a waffle, so that doesn't matter as much, because you got the gridiron.
But it's anyway. A promotion for the movie, so maybe Meowth?
Yeah.
Pokemon 2000, yeah.
So maybe it's like, I don't know, Meowth and Legendary Birds, or Lugia and Legendary Birds?
Maybe Slowking.
So, he said we got 4 guesses. Do you want to say, like, Meowth, Slowking, and then Lugia? And then if it's none of these, exactly.
It's none of those 3.
Okay. So...
You have 1 more guess.
Just 1 of the legendary birds, honestly.
I'm down with that. Let's say Zapdos, because Team Instinct for the win.
Sure.
No Zapdos. So I will give you the point for the Pikachu, but the 5 Pokemon were Pikachu, Togepi, Elekid, Gengar, because we all know Gengar was in that movie, probably.
It wasn't. It was not.
I know. And Meryl. Yeah.
That is so... Okay, so I understand Elekid and Meryl because they were in, like, the Pikachu short.
Well, also Meryl was in the movie. Meryl was in the movie because Tracy was in the movie.
Yeah, Tracy had a Meryl, yes.
And also Togepi, because Togepi.
Misty had a Togepi. Fine. But Gengar... What?
Togepi was also, like, one of the marketable ones at the time for, like, Gen 2-ish stuff.
Yeah.
You got 1 point out of this. You're 4 for 4.
That animated short really was the best.
That was a good one, because Snorlax is stronger than you. All right, so our next question is a base stat question, as always. And our base stat question this week is from Merlander. What Dragon-type Pokemon has the lowest speed stat of all Dragon-type Pokemon?
I think it's Drampa. Oh, Drampa, Tartanator, could be Bagon, not Bagon, Shelgon as well. Because Shelgon does the, you know, the cocoon thing. Yeah. So we still have our hint, technically.
You could still cash it in, though, too.
Oh, that's right. We can cash it in.
You could cash it in to go for 6.
Well.
I know Drampa has a base speed that's like, I don't know.
Oh, Gumi.
Ooh.
Right? The weakest dragon Pokemon, as it's called.
It is the weakest. I don't know that it is the slowest.
A slug. That's my rationale.
And yet, I keep thinking Drampa for some reason. Okay, so what is your vote?
Yeah, I'm going to say Gumi. Because I think I've used Drampa, and I think it's at least like... 50
base No, speed? No. It does not reach 50. No. No. Thing is slow.
If you have that strong of a suspicion, then...
I don't have that strong of a suspicion. My question is really, do you want to use the hint or not? Because I don't think we're certain enough that we want to be looking to cash that in, you know?
I'm a gambling person, but that's up to you. I'll let you decide.
Oh, man. I don't like responsibilities or taking decisions.
You know, I'm at the lowest amount of points currently, so I'm not going to win this round. So it's up to you based on what you want to do and see if you can try to catch up to the others.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to win either. So
why not do it?
You know what? Let's use the hint. Let's use the hint.
Oh, okay, fair.
This is a dual-type dragon-type Pokemon. It has a second typing.
So it has to be Tartanator.
It's a Gen 8 dragon.
Oh, Gen 8? Duraludon! Oh, yeah, because... So, Drapey is fast. And Duraludon is a giant building? What other dragons are in Gen 8?
They added those two lines, and then...
Because the fossils are fast. Like, the fossils with the dragon-type legs are base 70.
This Pokemon
70.
Would never have to go to the dentist, but tis.
So I just say Duraludon.
What does the dentist have to do with anything? What?
Well, Duraludon has weird-looking teeth, from what I've seen.
Oh.
A blank a day keeps the doctor away.
Oh, Appleton. Applin or Appleton. I don't know which one of the two is
right.
Slower.
Okay.
Yeah, which one of the two is slower? See, I thought to myself, I needed to like read Gen 8 base stats, but I'm going to guess it's, I mean, I don't think it gets slower when it evolves. So maybe Applin because it's stuck inside the apple. Okay, let's go with Applin.
Applin is correct.
Yeah, see, that took a long while, but we got there.
We were a bit far off. What was Goomy?
Goomy's base 40, Applin's base 20, Appleton is base 30.
Hmm.
Drampa is tied with Tartanator at 36.
See?
Oh, okay.
Wow. There you go. For slowest dragon types, there you go.
I would have been right a year ago.
You would have been right a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or even not even a year ago, just like a month ago.
I don't feel so bad about that now.
So that does change up our standings because you guys got 5 points today. And that moves you guys around because everybody's like really hot. Everybody's officially in double digits. I think this is the first time that's ever happened.
Possibly, yes.
Everybody's in double digits. First time ever. In first place, we have Sublime with 28 points. In second place, we have Arsigma with 24 points. In third place, we have Sethvila with 20 points. In fourth place, Whimsicott with 18. In fifth place, Basket with 17. Tied for sixth are Dr. Shamu and Scrawn with 14 points. In eighth place, we have Linian with 13. And in ninth, we have Jushiro with 11. That's that. This is. I don't think we've had double digits on everybody before. So, like, bravo to all of you.
Thank you.
For spreading the love. And on that note, that's it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. If you want some more, tune in next week and we'll do some more Poke Quiz. Yeah. So we're going to take a short break and talk to you about an iTunes review and give you the topic. And we have another review this week from iTunes. This one is from 14MudKit14. And he says, good stuff. If you're that bored, it's great. The intro is nice. Keep on doing what you're doing. Thanks to you, 14MudKit14. And if you too want your iTunes review or review of the podcast at all read on the show, go ahead on whatever platform you do. We do rotate and find different reviews everywhere. So go ahead, leave it on your podcast catcher of choice, and we'll get to you. And on that note, we're going to kick things on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. The topic this week is going to be what's next, I guess. What's the plan? What's the plan, Stan? TPCI?
What is a next Areno?
Next to Reno. I mean, I have thoughts, but I want to hear what you guys say first.
Okay. So I had this as sort of a shower thought last week or so. And it was, what Pokemon are omitted from the decks that they could add in such quantities to justify doing a remake of that particular game as the next big Pokemon game? You know, like, I feel like that rationale makes a certain degree of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does. It does to an extent. Yes.
So, but like, obviously there are like, you couldn't look at this from a, you know, sheer quantity perspective. I think you'd have to look at it from a percentage perspective, as in which Pokemon from each generation were omitted by percentage. So I haven't done those calculations.
So the answer is
what that those are.
So I don't know the exact percentages, but I do know that if you look at like, so I know, I think it's only like 54 Pokemon from Gen 1 are in there. So think about that. That means there's a lot of Gen 2 probably missing, mm-hmm. and by extent also a lot of Gen 4. I think there's also a good number of Gen 3 stuff missing as well. I mean, we didn't get stuff like Meryl.
Gen 3 Pokemon aren't particularly memorable.
I don't agree with that. I'm gonna healthily disagree with that.
Me
I think,
neither.
I think Gen 5 is where you're getting the ones that you can't remember. I mean, I wouldn't know that about Shelmet and Escavalier unless they were in this game. I wouldn't have missed them. I also don't miss, and let me tell you, because you probably didn't notice they were missing, but the elemental monkeys, they're missing. But nobody cares.
Oh, nobody.
Nobody cares. But I'll tell you what I do miss, Magnezone.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I miss Magnezone. I miss Magnezone. I miss Scizor.
Wait, I've got a joke. I guess they wanted to keep out the illegal aliens.
They didn't, though, because LGM's still in the game.
Yep.
Boom. Yeah.
They ruined the joke for you.
There's a lot. Well, if you just look at this is not based on anything quantitative, but I feel like there's a lot of Gen 5 Pokemon that are present. Like a lot
there's
of Gen 5.
There's a whole lot of
there's
Gen 5.
There's a
there.
Lot of Gen 5 Pokemon present. There's, and I think that has to.
There are a lot more Gen 5 Pokemon than any other Gen.
There's just about as many Gen 5 Pokemon as there are Gen 1 Pokemon. We only have 54 Gen 1 Pokemon.
And honestly, if we're looking at, at it from a, distance perspective, and we're looking at how many Gen 1 Pokemon are omitted, and if by also contrast the Gen 2, we're probably looking at a Soul Silver Heart Gold remake.
I don't think Gold, that's Silver true. Remake. I think you're probably looking.
I'm saying it. Those were some of the most beloved installments in the franchise, and they're gonna want to do their normal revisiting of it.
I think they'll revisit Diamond and Pearl. I mean, it's the time. It's they know the community wants it because they did the same thing with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. They knew that Hoenn confirmed was like a thing. They're very aware of the community. In that aspect, I think Diamond and Pearl is probably the very next natural step because Glammeow is still missing, guys. Glammeow.
Okay.
Glammeow hasn't been in the regional decks since 2007.
All right.
The only game it was available in is in Pokemon
Pearl. Pearl.
It wasn't even available in Platinum.
Nope.
The only other game...
It was available in Pokemon White 2?
No.
Nope.
It was not. No, it was not.
It was available in White Forest in some game. It's gotta be.
No.
Oh, White Forest, maybe?
No.
I don't know.
No, Glammeow is not catchable. The only other game that Glammeow was catchable in was in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire when they did their whole, you can get all the Pokemon in the National Dex thing for Gen 6.
On one specific Mirage Island.
It was on one very specific Mirage Island, which is also just, randomly time-based. So, it's not a consistent catching of Glammeow. But yes, oh, there is in White 2, you can get it from a hidden grotto, accidentally.
Oh, that's it.
A hidden grotto.
Wow.
It's a rare Pokemon,
It's very hard to get. It is unobtainable.
I am slightly more inclined to agree with Thatch on this one, simply because Heart Gold and Soul Silver were so good because they were a remake. Because 50% of their value is the nostalgia for Gold and Silver themselves and Crystal.
Sure.
I would also argue that there's been a tone shift in Game Freak since those games were developed as well.
Mm.
Just because if you watch the interviews for Heart Gold, Soul Silver versus the interviews for the more recent games, I think it's just, I don't think they could touch Heart Gold, Soul Silver without ruining it.
They were
a labor of love.
They were
for the franchise, because if you read the interviews, they asked the director, I forget his name, because it was a remake, so it wasn't one of the main directors of the Pokemon franchise, but they asked him, why did you put so much in there? He goes, I want people to have all of the things to do. And he goes, people ask me why I'm doing so much, and I said, because I want to give the players the best experience I can possibly give them. And then we fast forward to 2014, and we asked Junichi Masuda why there's no Battle Frontier, and he says, because nobody would use it. And then There's a little bit of a disconnect there, and the mentality of current Game Freak versus Game Freak of old. And
yeah, definitely.
And so I honestly want them to leave Heart Gold, Soul Silver alone. Let them be what they are.
Yeah. Whereas I would very much appreciate a remake of Gen 4 on the Switch, simply because I think the one thing that always kept me from replaying any Gen 4 games, and the reason they kind of turn into a giant gray soup in my mind is how mind-bogglingly slow it is to move through those games.
Yes, but that's, I mean, they've also had issues with pacing, I would argue, in Sun and Moon and also in Sword and Shield.
Oh, I don't mean like the story pacing. I mean, literally taking your character from place A to place B takes forever.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably handle it more like Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, where like there's just random like, hey, you want to walk back with me? And then you get auto fast travel.
Even just having a walking speed that's more appropriate to the pace of the story would improve things on a considerable level, you know?
Well,
I do agree with that.
Here is my prediction, and you're not going to like it, you're going to complain about it, but I think it's more likely than them just releasing a main series Pokemon game next year. They're going to have another Let's Go.
They have said they will not.
They said they weren't. In interviews.
What?
Yeah.
This is wonderful news. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I thought of you
when they said that.
I think Let's Go was an anomaly. I said it before and I'll say it again. I think Papa Nintendo was breathing down Game Freak's neck saying, hey, you got to get one of them Pokemon games out. And they said, okay. And they found the wonderful, like, combination of, hey, let's drag in the Pokemon Go audience at the same time. Because I don't think you can recreate the magic of Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, with a Gen 2 game. I don't think you can recreate it. Because, one, it's Kanto, so you're already bringing back the people who came back to Pokemon Go who were the quote-unquote Gen 1ers. And so, if those... Also, this is like a semi-hot take in reference to the sales numbers, because Joe Merrick made a claim recently, and this is the one time I disagree with Joe, because we got the sales numbers for Let's Go back in October, the end of October. And they sold, I think they finally crossed the 11 million threshold. I think they're just over 11 million copies sold or something like that. But I want everybody to keep in mind that they just crossed 11 million at the end of October. And they launched and within like the first quarter had sold over 10 million copies already.
Yeah.
So there is a super slow burn on Let's Go sales after that happened. That's why if you go on Amazon.com right now, you can get Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee under $45.
Felt like they were cheated with those games too.
So you have that. Also, everybody knows what a Let's Go game is now, and there's no mystery to what that is. And that tells me that first it was a slow burn, and what Joe said, I do want to finish that thought, is that Joe said, well, at this point in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire's life cycle, they also sold 11 million at this point in time.
Yeah, but it wasn't like 10 millions and then 1 million over the next like whatever.
Exactly. They only sold like 8 million at launch or something like that.
Exactly. I think also like a very important factor about the sales of Let's Go is just how many people got Let's Go just because they were so desperate to play Pokemon on the Switch. I know I'm one of them.
I don't disagree with that sentiment either. I don't know. Let's Go, I think, was an anomaly. And I think what we're going to, what I foresee happening is I'm going to put this in heavily in quotes, a repeat of Gen 3. We're going to put that in heavy quotes because this was the last time we kind of had, we're going to put Dexit in quotes in Gen 3, because Gen 3, when Ruby and Sapphire came out, all we got there was 200 Pokemon. There's 386 of them that exist, but we can only have 200 of them. And we're kind of in the same boat right now, right? There's 890 Pokemon, but we can only have 400 of them.
Yeah, but so you're saying this is the first part of that.
Well, so it's like the first part. So like, let's look at what
Fire Red Leaf Green.
First, yeah, so then they released Fire Red and Leaf Green to kind of fill in the gaps that Ruby and Sapphire had.
Yeah.
And then they release another game like Emerald that's like everybody's here.
Except it's not going to be Emerald because they haven't made a third version in forever.
No, it won't be Emerald.
Well, it'll be a third version.
No,
it's
so
gonna be different games.
So this leads me to my next point
that you can transfer from Sword and Shield to the new games.
So there, I have 3 points that support my thought process here. So the first point is that we have this repeat of Gen 3. The second thought is if they continue with this release cycle of a game every year, which seems like it's going to be the thing, because just looking at like the VGC play style, like what are you going to do to really spice up VGC in 2020 or in 2021 for VGC 2021? What are you going to do to spice that up? And
nothing
really.
You can't do anything. Everything that is in the game isn't there.
So that tells me that you're gonna get some kind of new game that's gonna have a different dex, and they're gonna get.
So you were saying that you think it's gonna be Gen 4, right? I have a contrary fact.
Okay.
That you can kind of put against that, and it's not so much a something you typically think about. Mm-hmm. But it's more like a stylistic choice, and it's the fact that Galar and Sinnoh are both located in a very cold area of the Pokemon world.
I don't think that really matters, personally. I don't think that matters because you still have a desert in Sinnoh, and you still have...
Sure, but they have the Dusty Bowl in Galar.
You still have the Dusty Bowl in Galar. I don't think thinking of real life locations and their climates is a thing to do in Pokemon at all. Like, one of the most annoying things is to complain about how Galar has an icy region, and there's no icy regions in England. I think that's a stupid comparison to make, quite frankly.
Maybe this argument would have been valid a few generations ago, but they just set an entire generation in a small archipelago. So,
yeah, I think that Gen 4 is probably what's coming next time.
People
and then
Hawaii, I guess.
I think next we get Gen 4 because of those two reasons. We're gonna get a new game next year probably. And then mm-hmm. if you go further, and you say, oh, well, they're gonna release a yearly game. So we get, let's say we get Galar decks, then we're just going to say for now, we get Sinnoh decks as our next VGC format. Well, what do they do in 2022? Well, in 2021, you know what 2021 is for the Pokemon company?
The 25th anniversary.
The 25th anniversary. And wouldn't it be great if they released a game that they said everybody's here, like Super Sword and Super Shield, that comes out with even better story, improved story, kind of like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
And trees that are not see-through.
And then you can bring over the national decks, and then your format in 2022 is the national decks?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of legends and starters.
Well, no. You don't bring the legends. Like, you get rid of the GS Cup, because I think TPCI's acknowledged, I think they've realized that GS Cup is probably their lowest participation in terms of format.
Yeah.
And which it is, if you look at their participation numbers for VGC 19 versus VGC 16, or VGC 19 and VGC 16, in both those 3-year blocks, they have significantly lower numbers than the rest of the years.
Yeah.
So just throwing that out there. But I think the timeline works out really, really well in their favor.
To do it this way.
And I had another reason other than that.
Well, I hope you're right. I would like new main series games. I say new heavily, you know, jaded by my experience of getting Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, but, you know, I'd still be okay with that.
So my third point is, if you actually look at the sales numbers of every third game, we're going to put that in quotes, since Emerald, you can see that TPCI has progressively sold more and more. And you can argue, oh, well, Black and White 2 and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon are two games. And they are. But if you think about what TPCI is thinking in that format, they go, we just want to see more sales of games that took us very little work to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're just taking so like Emerald is literally just Ruby and Sapphire, and they made a few changes, and that's Emerald version. You get 6 point something million sales. You do the same thing with Platinum, which is just like Diamond and Pearl squished together with a slightly different story. You got like one extra world you can go to, which is the oh my gosh, I forget what it's called, wherever Giratina lives, and
the Distortion World.
Yeah, the Distortion World, and I think that sold like something like 7-ish million. And then Black and White 2 came out, and they, if you separate them, didn't sell well. But if you think of them as just one game, because it didn't take them long to redevelop the whole Unova region, sure. And they just put two cartridges out with the same regional exclusives or version exclusives. And you see what happened there is they ended up selling like just about 8 million copies. And then you see Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, where, again, they didn't make a lot of changes. They added a couple Pokemon, they changed the end of the story, and they sold even more than Black and White 2 did. And they're at like 8.5 million sales for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, which are the best selling since Emerald, the best, or even since Crystal, the best selling third version of a game. And so what you do is you gate off the Pokemon until the third version of the game. And then when you bring back the national decks, everybody buys it and you sell 10 million copies of third version games.
And from the perspective of someone who has to sell the games, it's way easier to sell a game saying, oh, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon aren't sequels to Sun and Moon. They're just better versions. people are more likely to buy Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. But if you're doing Black and White, or Black, White 2 and White 2, and you're saying, well, Black 2 and White 2 are sequels to Black and White, so you probably want to buy Black and White first. So they end up buying that, and then they may or may not buy the sequel.
It doesn't matter because they just want the sales. Like, at the end of the day, that's right. What they want. They want right. The sales.
And yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, I guess. It's just updated Sword and Shield. I'm not happy about it, but
that's what's going to happen.
Happy about it from a tournament organizer perspective in adding new Pokemon, changing up the format. Because if we're stuck with the Sword and Shield VGC format, I already know it's going to get stale real quick, even with like the changing up Gigantamax Pokemon and all.
Yep.
It's going to get stale eventually within a year. Like, people are going to like it for this year, and I'm super excited for that. But, you know, if it's, you know, it's going to be this year and the first half of next year in the VGC season. If it has to go beyond that, people are going to be sick of it. And that's what I'm worried about.
I mean, you get like a handful of new Pokemon whenever home drops, because you can breed them in Galar.
Just like a handful. But even,
it's really a handful, yes.
It's like a handful. And I mean, it's like, I think it's, first of all, one of them is Incineroar.
Yeah,
Have fun. And then I think it's like Kanto starters, Alolan starters. And I think that's about it. I think that's about it that would be allowed in VGC.
Pretty much, yes.
Alolan Ninetales.
Oh, and the Alolan like and that. The Alolan Pokemon. Yeah. The Alolan forms, yeah. Alolan Ninetales, yeah. Alolan Ninetales will probably see play. I don't know about Alolan Persian, but or maybe Alolan Dugtree.
Right.
Who knows?
Oh man. So I think this has been a good discussion. Like, don't take our words as law though. Take them as like a cumulative, you know, understanding and trying to grasp what they're going to do.
There's no rules whatsoever.
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
We've learned.
There's no rules.
Rules went out the windows in Gen 5.
Yeah. I think my Gen 6 theory
holds water. But you know, it is what it is.
I think HeartGold Soul Silver is not what they would do whatsoever. I think they know that the community would be like, if they put out another Let's Go, I think they're aware of what the response would be. Just looking at the sales for Let's Go and the reception of Let's Go in the community, I don't know what's going on. The other thing, I mean, it depends. I mean, they could also change course depending on everything, because the PR for this, for Sword and Shield, I mean, no matter what your thought of the game was, the PR for Sword and Shield was horrible. Like, regardless of what you think of the game, like, yeah, it was 100% right. Horrible. Yeah. I mean, there was no way to handle the backlash that was happening. No good responses. I mean, you announced something big like Dexit, and then you kind of followed it up with like one trailer and then nothing for 2 months. And then you follow it up with like Gen 1 stuff. And I don't think that makes things much better. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't like the hands-off approach that they take. I think they should be more active with the community rather than just kind of like, yeah, you're going to buy whatever we buy anyway.
It's all Nintendo anyway. It's Nintendo. I mean, Nintendo doesn't take a lot of feedback in general from its fan base. Mm-hmm. And that's the major thing. I don't know though. I wonder, I don't know what's going on in TPCI, and I don't want to speculate on that because I think that's it would be just speculation. It's not based on anything, but I think what we talked about here today is something that can, it's based on past models.
Okay, one last prediction.
That's about it.
Battle simulator style game compatible with Pokemon Home.
Or it is Pokemon Home.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm talking like the fourth gen battle, Pokemon Stadium or whatever.
Pokemon Battle Revolution.
Yeah.
There is no reason for a Battle Revolution to exist, because what it did is bring Pokemon to your home console. Pokemon is already on your home console. Yep. Now Pokemon needs to be on your mobile phone. That's what Home does.
That's what Home does. And that would be the only thing that did it better.
People would buy it because...
Yeah, no. That's what you do. That's what you do with Home. And then you don't package it as like a... You don't package Home so much as a service like you did with Pokemon Bank. You package Home as like a $30 game.
Sure.
And that's how you do it. And maybe you don't even package it as like a $30 game. What you do, well, maybe it's like $20 on Switch, but then you have to pay like $10 to get it on your phone. And then it's packaged together, and then you just log into the same account and you can go from the Switch to the phone.
I, for one, would love the interesting stadiums you can battle in once again.
I mean, you can kind of change the stadiums.
You can do that now.
Sword and Shield.
You can do that now based on like the background of your trainer card.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
If your trainer card has a background that's connected to a certain gym, You have a 50% chance of any battle you do online or in local to have that background. If both people have the same background, the battle is guaranteed to happen in that stadium.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
Neat.
Yeah, so that already happens. So it's, I mean, which is nice. That was like one of my requests, is that something happened about that. Yeah. Like, that, I mean, it's great. Too bad I can't do my 66 battles there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would totally be down. I would totally be down for Home to have that. I mean, this is what I've been saying since June. Yes. I think Home should include something like that. And at this point, I don't have my hopes up that it's going to have that. Mostly because I don't know. They did say during a lot of the interviews when people asked about Dexit, they did keep praising that Home was going to be the solution to that problem.
Yeah, but knowing them, it's not going to be the solution to the problem the way we would want it to be the solution to the problem. But
exactly. I fully see it being like, I see it being more of a hub than Bank was, but not to the extent that we want it to be.
Yeah.
That's what I see it as. But we'll see how it goes forward. But on that note, this is a good place to stop. We can wrap it up. And we'll take a short break and Seth will yell at you about some ramen. And we will go ahead and kick it on over to Puckle's Pokey Quiz. Catch ya. Poke of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving. Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's P-U-C-L, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 842, Appleton, the Apple Nectar Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Shield Dex entry reads, its body is covered in sweet nectar, and the skin on its back is especially yummy. Children used to have it as a snack.
What?
That's a great Pokedex entry.
So it's a Pokemon that people eat.
the sword entry talks about
how it's a predator of bug.
It's a predator of folk Pokemon because it's sweet. It brings them in with the scent. Appleton's kind of cool. He's got a base HP of 110, so he's a chunky boy. Base 85 attack, 80 defense, 100 special attack, 80 special defense, and a hefty 30 speed. He's also Grass Dragon, which isn't the best, but it's okay. We still love him anyway.
I mean, it has really good resistances and it has really bad weaknesses.
He does have a lot of resistances. It's like he has 4 quarter resistances or 3 quarter resistances and 1 half resistance. So like, good for him.
Yeah.
Mega Sceptile died for this.
Right. Right. Probably closer to Flapple in that instance.
Probably, yes.
What you're saying is that we got rid of the Christmas tree to have a Thanksgiving pie.
Yeah, I don't think apple pie is typically a Thanksgiving pie.
It's just, you know, pie.
I would classify pumpkin pie. We need, like, instead of Appleton, we need Pumpkinton. That's what we need.
Right. So if you breed an Appleton with a pumpkaboo.
Yeah. We need a pumpkin.
I do not want to envision that. All right. Fun thing about Appleton, the things you think are its ears coming out from under its helmet are actually its eyes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're like upside down eyes, and it's super creepy.
It's awful. Yeah. So we don't have a team for you this week. I do want to preface that again, mostly because right now, like probably as you're listening to this, they're finally coming to a verdict on whether or not Dynamax should exist in OU.
Well, we can kind of do a quick little thing.
I'm not going to build a team right now, but he's not a bad little boy.
Well, like in terms of viability for Appleton, he's okay to the ability you use.
Yes,
like, he gets thick fat, which is really nice, which takes his 4x weakness to ice down to 2x if you have thick fat.
But he's also got gluttony. He's got gluttony and ripen, and I think ripen might be
so all of his abilities
better.
Are pretty good to choose.
Yeah,
ripen is really good if you have the recycle egg move, but it's just a matter of picking what stat you want to do. I could see some crazy, you know, shenanigans going on with that.
Yep.
And like recovering and stuff, since it gets I think it gets recover.
That's a bold statement. I do not know if Appleton gets recover.
It does get recover. Level 24.
Yep. Okay.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, it does.
What a chunky monkey.
I guess what you could do is get rid of anything that has an ice type move, build it either super special defensive or a super physical defensive, give it the berry that raises your defense or special defense when you're hit with that kind of move.
Yeah.
And then just sit there forever.
Yeah. Honestly,
you know, that's a choice.
he's a chunky monkey, okay? He's just too cute.
It has a really good move pool, actually, as well.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It gets stuff like superpower, sucker punch.
It also
slam,
gets some body press. Yeah. Body press has been a fun
earthquake.
One this gen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good move pool. Yeah, he's not doing too bad. I mean, he is also a dragon type, so like they do give him something because he's a dragon type. Mm-hmm. And I think that really combines all of it together. But he's an interesting Pokemon. And he also gets a Gigantamax, which is objectively probably not that great.
What does the Apple Acid Gigantamax move do?
It is, oh my gosh, it's nothing. So it doesn't matter when you're in a max raid battle. I can tell you that for sure.
Okay, I'm looking it up.
I don't remember it. I remember Flapples, but I don't remember his.
Yeah, so it's G-Max Sweetness.
Yep. They both have the same one. They have the same
one. It heals
all
status conditions on your side of the
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, they don't have the same one. They just look the same. Where
yeah,
they Gigantamax.
Yeah. It's either G-Max Sweetness or G-Max Tartness.
Yeah.
And Tartness is only good if you're running a Hustle Flapple.
Yes. So lowers the evasiveness.
Yeah. Unless you like use it the last turn and they're like running Dragon Rush or something.
I don't know. Part of me would rather have the grassy terrain.
Honestly, yes.
I think I'd rather have the grassy terrain.
You can't benefit from that because you're a flying type. Anyway,
exactly.
So.
Who's not.
Nobody's a flying type.
Oh, I thought Flapple was a flying
type. No, he's a grass dragon.
But it's flying. Okay, Pokemon doesn't make sense. I need to stop trying to make it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, so Appleton, it's probably can do stuff. We don't know what it does yet. That's
it probably won't do anything.
it probably won't do anything. I haven't seen it in my OU adventures yet.
One day.
Showdown.
Just wait till Dynamax is gone. Wait till Dynamax is gone.
Honestly, yes. Honestly.
Wait till Dynamax is gone and if Appleton might see some more use.
Yeah, let's just say that with its resistances, it has, I think it can have, like, it can plug some defensive holes on certain teams, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, that's Appleton. We're just going to make this segment super short. And next week, we will hopefully have a team for you as OU becomes something. So on that note, we're going to switch on over to the mailbag.
Mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And as always, we'll get the Green Tauros badge out if we remember. Probably not. And so, on that note, this is the segment of the show where you, the listener, can send in emails to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We read them on the show. We typically have a question. We asked you guys what you thought about the post game last week. This week, we're going to ask you, what do you think is going to be next in the Pokemon franchise? What do you think their overall plan is? What game do you think we'll get next? Or what do you hope comes next, I guess, is a good question as well. But yeah, let's go into these emails, though. Our first email is going to be from Gone Corfishin. Good morning, Puckle crew. Gone Corfishin here. Thanks for another great episode this week, as always. When it comes to the postgame for Sword and Shield, I've been mostly wrapped up in camping and working on my curry decks, as opposed to my actual Pokedex or building any kind of competitive teams. Camping was by far my favorite new feature they added to this game, and there are a few neat things to go with it, and I'll make mention of here in case anyone is in the same boat as I am. First off, if you really want to show off your curry-making skills and get that sweet 5-star Charizard class ranking, I suggest visiting Gleece's camp on Route 8. You can fly there directly using the town map. It's the one with all the evolutions. There's 4 trainers who will make curry there with you, so it makes it easier to get a higher ranking. Just be careful not to burn it. When I've put in as many slightly rare berries as I could, I've gotten a 5-star rating every time. Also, she always makes instant noodle curry, so if you're trying to add new flavors to your deck, stay away from this as your base. Stay away as using this as your base in your own camp. Next up, camping makes all of the friendship evolutions so much easier than in past games. After making just 1 4-star Koopasha class curry, I was able to evolve all the baby Pokemon as well as type null I had in my party. This really helped me in working to complete the Pokedex, as I found the friendship evolutions to take the longest in post-game as opposed to a playthrough. Side note, having a camp full of baby Pokemon is even cuter than it sounds.
Aww.
If you haven't camped with a Togepi yet, it's almost indescribably cute, and you have to try it. Looking at you, Whimsicott.
I mean, I camped with Snom, so... fine.
Also, play around with having different Pokemon at the front of your party for making curry, as certain ones will have different proportion sizes, which is a nice touch that really adds to the experience. Example, Rillaboom will get a massive pile of curry, while Frostmoth just gets a tiny spoonful.
Yeah, Frostmoth gets a spoonful, but Snom gets the giant pile. That's hilarious.
Does it really?
Yes.
That's cute.
That's cool. Love that.
Lastly, making different classes of curry unlocks different expressions for your avatar for your league card.
Oh.
The most fun is when you unlock the expression from the 1-star coughing class curry and can make your avatar look like they're going to hurl while doing the thumbs up action or Leon's Charizard pose. Keep up the amazing work. I hope you have a fantastic week. Gone Corfishin.
Honestly, this is a helpful mailbag.
Very.
I can't remember the last time we've had such a helpful
I don't know what time that I had a mailbag that I learned something.
Right?
I learned something from that.
I don't remember the last time that happened, and I'm happy that it happened. So thank you. Thank you for that, Gone Corfishin. Green Tauros badge right now. There you go.
Yeah, right now. It's yours.
Well, we should at least give the other mailbags a chance.
They're not going to teach me anything.
I mean, they might. You don't know.
Let's give them a shot.
Okay. Go ahead, Whimsicott.
Okay, this one is from Fairy King Nova. Hey, Puckle people, and hey, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Ryan's actually coming over to record an episode with me today.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
It'll be out later this month, so keep an eye out for that.
Amazing. I'm back with another email, maybe read by Fluffy this time. There you go.
Maybe.
In regards to your prompt, I do have a few opinions. I found that after beating the postgame, I was left with the age-old question that plagues me after every Pokemon game. Now what? Well, I'm here to tell you, not much. I love these games, but just like last gen, I've been left with nothing really. But what do I have? What I do have, I'm enjoying so much. I've been breeding for shinies, wonder trading, quote unquote, for either Pokemon from other parts of the world or even mons in different bowls. Got to love my love and Moon Bowl. I've also started building competitive mons, so good like my Hatterene and some weird like my Prankster and Grimmslar that will just spam Metronome. Anyway, there's some stuff there to do, but like Ariel, I want more. In closing, I'm happy that I'll be playing this game for a bit. But while I have you, I have yet another wonderful question. Out of just 10, who are your top 5 mons, if time will allow, or just your top mon?
Let's just do the top one.
Mine is a tie for first place between Grimmsnarl for being a fairy bro, Toxtricity because he's a punk and all of punk, and Frostmoth because it's a queen. Anywho, till next time, Fairy King Nova. P.S. Love the show and everything you guys and gals do. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think my favorite is probably... I don't even know. The good news about this gen is like the Pokemon designs were all solid.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single one I disliked. I think I'm cool with Toxtricity. I'll just say Toxtricity, and that's where we'll end it.
Indeedy.
Fair.
I like Wooloo, Frostmoth and Snom, Inteleon, and Sinistee, and Galarian Ponyta.
No, wait. No, I'm changing mine. Galarian Farfetch'd. Galarian Farfetch'd. I'm Fair saying enough. Now because I said he existed and people doubted. People doubted.
Love that.
The duck existed.
The duck exists.
All right. Last one is going to be from Trainer Wolf.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, Thatch and Co. Trainer Wolf here to give my thoughts on post-game Sword and Shield. Got another longer email this week after doing a shorter one a couple weeks ago, so sorry in advance for that.
You should apologize.
First of all, thanks for letting us know that Apricorn balls are available in the Gym Leader Challenge. I knew you could get spare Master Balls there, but I didn't realize you could get the rare balls too. And that's always been a big complaint I had with Sun and Moon. I like to catch Pokemon on balls that match aesthetically. For example, I caught Lunala in the Moon Ball, but that makes it really hard to pick when you're only given one of each. So I'm happy to learn they are renewable, even if they're very rare. I caught my G-Max Snorlax in a Heavy Ball, so it's good to know that I can get another one for when I find a G-Max Duraludon. If you're playing with a friend, make a list of which Pokemon you both are missing and help each other out. For example, my wife told me which Shield exclusives she needed, and I told her the Sword exclusives I needed. And after we'd both gotten all of the exclusives, we caught and bred things for each other, and we completed the decks already last week. It was a really fun way to work together, and I'd highly recommend if you have a real-life friend, playing rather than just hoping to get trades with random people online. However, if you don't have real-life friends playing, then Puckle obviously is a fantastic place to make friends. Finally, this isn't really a tip, but if you're breeding for competitive or shiny Pokemon, think about maybe saving some breed checks to surprise trade on Christmas. The past few years, there have been a lot of people on YouTube and Reddit who wonder trade breed checks on Christmas so that kids who just got the game can have some cool stuff coming in. When Ultra Sun Ultra Moon came out, I sent several boxes of Totodile, which were kind of hard to get in that game, and in return I got a lot of Route 1 Pokemon. It was a great feeling, knowing that maybe I was introducing kids to my favorite Pokemon as they started their journeys. This year I've got a couple of boxes of Dreepy, and I'm planning on shiny hunting Marini and maybe hunt Honedge. It's nice to think those Breejacks might go to someone who's never seen that Pokemon before, and it might make their Christmas even better. Trainer Wolf signing off as the journey continues.
I heartily approve of this, and I will probably do this if I have time.
It happens every year.
But it's nice to get the reminder, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and that was another helpful, you know, email.
Not as helpful.
Honestly.
Not as helpful.
Okay. Like, the curry stuff I didn't know about. That's my personal bias.
I learned about the curry stuff, and I'm tapped into the community.
I really do like Trainer Wolf's email as well.
You know what? Goodwill gets you nothing here.
We want curry!
Teaching me about getting vomiting expressions on my trainer card is what this is about.
All right.
Green Tauros badge rule.
You can claim your Green Tauros badge on Discord.
On that note, again, if you want to email us next week at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, let us know what you think is coming next in the Pokemon world. I'd love to hear from you guys. Following that up even more, if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can keep track of us on Twitter, mostly Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also go ahead and take a look over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. We did a Patreon raid night the other day, and it was fantastically fun. So we're going to try to get more of those happening if you're in the Patreon. We're also going to go ahead and we also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/pucklepodcast, where you guys can go over there. We're attempting to get some different content up because battle videos no longer exist. There's some stuff in the works. And then following that is, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but now we have... You can also support the show in a couple different ways. One, you can go over to Twitch, drop a Twitch Prime subscription if you really want. Especially if you have Prime, Amazon Prime, you can get a free one. And we appreciate the couple of dollars that throws our way. You can also go ahead and go over to our TeePublic store and support us over there. You can also go over to our friends over at Vite Ramen, which is a great ramen service if you want to get ramen that is actually good for you. My favorite thing, because everybody, whenever I talk to them about it in real life, they go, well, ramen has a lot of salt in it. And fun fact, they have half the sodium of a typical ramen package you'd have. And that is that's due to the fact that they make everything, like all of the nutrients in their ramen, 25% of like your daily intake. And that includes sodium. And so a typical package of ramen would have 50% of your daily value of sodium. So their package of ramen has 25% of your daily value of sodium.
So you're saying I've got to eat four?
I mean, you should. I mean, you could. I would say don't eat more than that.
I'm joking.
The idea is it's just like a meal replacement for like one day, and it's ramen, so it's good and tasty. So go over there, use code Puckle at checkout to help support the show. They kick back a little bit to us when that happens, and I fully support their product. So and finally, if you want to, go over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast to be able to join in cool things like Patreon raid nights, getting your name read on the show, and a host of a bunch of other cool rewards. So go over there and check it out. I definitely want to push that out there. So on that note, here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I've been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Sopran.
And I have been the Fluffiest Whipsicott.
And it's closing time. We here at Puckle would like to thank all of our patrons who make this show possible and as well as just give us a bunch of awesome stuff to work with and improve the show. I put out a video earlier this week thanking all of you for your continued support. Some changes to the tiers that are coming. You should see those changes reflected on patreon.com/pucklepodcast later this week. But I do thank all of you for supporting the show in as much as you have and as much as you could. It's just amazing to me and I really appreciate it. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and read all of your names as I do every week because I'm blown away. And I want to thank all of you for making this possible. And I'd like to reiterate, as always, none of us make money from this show. It all goes back into the show, making it bigger and better. And it's very exciting because we can do a lot with your support. So once again, thank you. And without further ado, thank you to Greg, Viger, Dooley, Cordia, Snickle, Rob, JT Rex, Big Chunk, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Titan Killer, Lane, Piccolo, Ryan, John, Wade, Marcus, Kinkovic, and Harmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Sheldon, Michael, CR Perkins, Bodtech, Swampertata, Gone Corefish, and Amanda, Chris, Andrew, Alex, Kenneth, Michael, Jordy, Ellen, Jacob, Bear, Nicholas, Holden, Justin, Launchpad, McQuack, Craig, Joey, Matthew, Sheon, John, Jonathan, Merlander, Caleb, Joshua, Zane, P. McGee, Robert, The Golden Klefki, DGZ, The British Gent, Brian DeWolf, Dylan, Trevor, TJ, Keegan, Peach, Doc Knox, Dennis, Farmer Fox, Echo, Edub, Jonathan, Disco, Calypso, Kelvin, Taylor, Mike, Colt, A Legionary, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Crocodiles and Crocs, Michael, Tim, Equals Dylan, Andrew, Old Man Tup, Jesse, David, Super Chad, Chan, Chandman, Lord Korbinick, Harvey, Lotto, Jordan, Raymond, Brock, Ed, Louise, Kevin, Nico, Hayden, Voltaire, Calvin, Justin, Luke, Matthew, Neleb, South, Brandon, Locke, iStarly TV, Zach, Kenneth, Prime Rib, Elfeats, Jeremy, Gigantamax Metapod, Sammy, Graham, Greg, Alec, Christopher, Yegler, Mikey, Christopher, Kevin, Chris, Darkflame, Halfle Review, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Shira, Zardy, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, William, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Sarah, Dylan, Joseph, Traby, Cordell, Julie, and Alex. Thank you to all of you. That is a lot of names now. I appreciate it. I will catch you guys all in the flip-flop. And again, you're awesome. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.